Indeed, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there. What a very, very special day this is indeed for you. I want to shout out to my wife. Happy Mother's Day. 3 kids, 13 grandchildren. How did it go by so fast, huh? Where did all the time go? Oh, excuse me. And one puppy. We have one puppy as well. My goodness. I'll tell you what, I don't know what happened and how it happened so fast, but I'm glad that it did, and I'm glad that I got to do it with you. Well, as we think about moms and how amazing moms are, I want to start off with this video that describes who they are.
Well, it's finally happened. You've moved out. You're on your own. Congratulations. But everyone still needs a little help sometimes.
Mom, have you seen my wallet?
It's in your back pocket.
Nah, I checked there.
Your other back pocket, dear.
Ah, thanks, Mom.
Introducing the Mom Personal Assistant, the only smart speaker device with all the wisdom, caring, and sage advice of a mother.
Mom, please call Brad.
Honey, I'm just not sure he's right for you.
Just call him.
Okay, calling Ryan.
No, Mom, I said call Brad.
Trust me.
The Mom PA always has your best interests in mind.
Wish me luck, Mom. Big interview today.
Did you eat breakfast?
Is
that what you're wearing?
Wait, what?
Did you even shower?
She's there to provide a helping hand whenever you need it.
Mom, set a timer for 40 minutes. Mom?
The Mom Personal Assistant won't function until you say the magic word.
Oh, right. Mom, please set a timer for 40 minutes.
Sure thing, hun, but it's only 30 minutes for that dish.
The Mom PA is always correct and basically knows everything.
Mom, what setting should I use for this laundry?
Mom, do you think I should color my hair?
Hey, Mom, can you please order mac and cheese?
You still have 2 boxes.
What? No, we're out.
Did you look?
Yeah, I just looked. It's gone.
Do you want me to look?
No, it's okay. I'll go look again.
Try looking with your eyes this time.
Based on God's perfect design, the Mom Personal Assistant is thoughtful, kind, encouraging, and supportive.
You are beautiful. It's okay. You're gonna get through this. I am so proud of you. You can change the world. But right now, hon, you really need to change your socks because they smell like a dumpster.
Mom.
The Mom Personal Assistant. Always helpful, always reliable, and always there for you.
Moms, thank you for all you do. I can't tell you how many times I have not found something in my house and I ask my wife and she finds it within seconds. I think there's a homing device inside of females and I don't know why, because us men can't find anything at any time. She finds it in an instant. I think this Mother's Day, more than any other Mother's Day, mothers, you've really earned a Mother's Day tribute and celebration, because this Mother's Day, unlike others, has taxed you more than I think we've ever probably been taxed before. To all the other amazing attributes you possess, we've added homeroom teacher, math teacher, spelling teacher, reading teacher, social studies and science teacher, art teacher, and drama teacher. Actually, you don't teach drama, but there's drama each and every day with all of your kids, every second of every moment. It's absolutely been incredible. I guess that probably better goes under a school counselor, maybe, that particular aspect. But there's athletic director, janitor, principal, and most importantly, our cheerleader. And for that, we're so, so very thankful. And not only are you doing all of this, but you're adding it to a lot of people's lives. A lot of you mothers out there are working a full-time job as well. And I don't know how you guys do it. You're absolutely incredible. You are definitely God's gift to us. And we thank you so very, very much. And we honor you. I think about when we think about honoring our mothers, honoring our father and mother, as the Bible says, I think what honors most mothers is when they fulfill their innate God-given calling. And I think that calling is to be a nurturer. And God's a nurturer as well. It's very interesting. The word nurturer, to nurture, means to feed and protect. To feed and protect. I think I think that's what God does for us. He feeds us from the Word. He protects us from danger. His Word is trying to tell us, hey, where is the danger? That's just what moms are doing. They feed us. I mean, literally from when we're very young and we're drinking milk from them, they're producing food for us. And they're also protecting us. There's nothing like the protection of a mother. I mean, anytime you go out, be safe, make sure you're okay. I mean, they're always reminding you of things that, of course, you're going to do anyway. But it's just something inside of them. Be careful. Or like, no, I wasn't going to be careful. But now that you said that, I'm going to be careful. So thank you for reminding me, because I absolutely forgot that. But it also means, this word nurture means to support and encourage, to bring up, to train, to educate. I think all of this is in your DNA. But the same aspect of nurture is also in the DNA of God. When I look at the aspect of who the Lord is, He's when I think of men and women, I think that nurturing, that loving, that protection, that providing, that all of that is inside of a woman, and we're so grateful for that. That attribute of God that's in you is absolutely incredible. It's absolutely amazing. And we are all the better because of it. So thank you. Thank you so much for what you do for us. And what moms do best is love and develop and train and grow children. They grow us. They love it. Both natural and spiritual children. We have many women in this church who mentor, develop, spiritually and naturally, those who are under them, and have raised up men and women of God who are changed forever because of the investment, because of the mentoring, because of the heart that's been given to them by spiritual women who give away their lives in such an amazing way to see somebody else benefit because of it. And I am so thankful to have those type of women in our church, both natural mothers and spiritual mothers in Israel here, who have given their lives away to help so many, many, many people. And for that, we are so thankful. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, because moms like to train up children, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. As I was looking and doing this study on that, I saw something I haven't seen before, this on this word train up. It's train up is the Hebrew word here, and it means to narrow. I'll get to that in a moment. But it also means to initiate or discipline. Training is your responsibility to initiate. It's our parents' responsibility, mother's responsibility to initiate that in a child's life. It's not up to the child to try to initiate that. Mom, Dad, can you train me up? No, we start from the idea of wanting to train them and help them even more so than they're desirous of it. We got to be more committed in this relationship, if you will, to train them up than they're willing or even want or desirous of it, especially when they're younger. We know the benefit of it. We know the dedication that's needed. So this word train up is talking about parents. You need to initiate. Secondly, discipline. Train up a child in the way he should go. We kind of think that, oh, we're in charge of disciplining them. But I see this scripture, what it's saying is you need to be disciplined in your training up of your child. You need to make sure that you're not lackadaisical in what you're doing. That you have purpose and you've planned and you've got a strategic idea, that it's thoughtful, it's on purpose, that you've got a plan for how you're going to develop your children. You're going to be disciplined about that approach. And I'll tell you what, it is difficult to be disciplined, especially when they're around 24/7 and sometimes you just want to give me a break. So we've got to be purposeful in it, disciplined in it, not lackadaisical. Strategic, intentional, thoughtful, purposeful in what we're doing. And the third one of this definition, train up, initiate, discipline, and it means to narrow. And I think this is really important. To narrow. You need to show children how to narrow down their choices in life. It's the responsibility of parents to show children how they need to narrow down their choices. Narrow down what's right, what's good, what's wholesome. Not broaden it. Some people, I got to make sure they know everything about everything. We don't need to know some things about some of the junk that's out there. We need to narrow down their focus, narrow down their heart, not broaden it. It's interesting in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it talks about these two gates. It says, enter, how you're supposed to get in. The desirous way to get in is to enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction or ruin that will destroy your life, ruin your life. And there are many, many who go in by it, who go in by that wide gate. Wide and broad means anything goes. It leads to destruction. And there are many people out there who are on their own cognizance choosing that gate. Verse 14 says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Narrow and difficult bring restrictive. It's restrictive. It's confining. This narrow, it's confined. Broad, do whatever you want. Feel however you want. I can do whatever. But this narrow gate, it's restrictive. It's constraining. And most people don't want to be constrained, but it says here that it leads to life, and there are few who choose to go this way. And let me say it this way. There are few on their own that choose to go that way. Many that on their own choose to go the broad road, where there's all sorts of things, anything goes, anytime, whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. They like the broad road. It's not restrictive. It's very, hey, do what you want. But it says we go there on our own. And many choose to go there. The other road, the narrow one, few choose it. You see, it's the responsibility of parents, I believe, to persuade, influence, mentor, and direct your child that they want to choose the narrow road. They want to choose the narrow gate. It's your responsibility. There was a parent who told me, not someone who goes to this church, but there was a parent who said something. I was talking to somebody out there, and he said, yeah, I feel my job as a parent is to make sure I teach them everything about everything. So I've taught them all sorts of religions, everything. And then when they've learned everything, then it will be up to them to pick whatever they want. And I'm going, I don't believe that. I know what they'll choose. I know what the world chooses because it's easy. They'll choose the broad one. To choose the narrow one, you've got to have somebody who's influencing you, somebody who's encouraging you, somebody who's mentoring you, somebody who is showing you that there's a better way than the easy way out there, a way that leads to life, a way that leads to happiness, a way that leads to joy, a way that leads to no regrets when you're done with this life. I'll tell you, what I want to do at the end of my life, I want to look back on it and not have any regrets. I want to make sure I lived it full out for Jesus Christ. Your job is not to show them everything, but to show them Jesus and how they can have a relationship with Jesus and how they don't need everything. They just need Jesus. They just need Jesus. We're to show them how to live a life dependent upon Jesus, to show them how to listen and how to hear from Jesus. I had a really delightful time when a couple of weeks ago I got to address our school via, Google Chat or Google Meet or whatever it is. So we're chatting with all of the school, kind of did in different chunks. And at the end of it, I encouraged the students. I said, hey, let me encourage you this. I want to encourage you to go on a walk with God. I want to encourage you to get away, go out and walk, and then listen to what the Lord says. Talked about writing in two different, write in one color of ink what your heart is to the Lord, journal it, and then write back in another color or pen and pencil, whatever, and write back what you feel the Lord has spoken to you. And it was neat. I got to encourage the kids in that. And Judah Fitzgerald, he was really pretty sweet. He writes me back this email, quite a long email. And he said, "Hey, Pastor Phil, I went out and I did that, what you said. I went on a walk with the Lord." And then he started telling me all of these things he was seeing kind of in nature and the interpolation that the Lord was giving him about his own life. And I thought, wow. I said, "Judah, what you did is you went out and you allowed the Lord to speak to you, and he spoke to you through things that you could understand, but you got the lesson and you understood what he was trying to say to you. And you let him speak to you, and he wrote it down." And I just want to encourage you, Judah, way to go, man. That was awesome. We need to be people who are listening to the voice of God even more so during these difficult times. It takes a narrow and dedicated thinking and action to lead us on the path to heaven. It takes a wide and broad and anything goes type of thinking to get us to a place where we really don't want to be. Ruined in this life and ruined in the next. A life of destruction. And sometimes I think we're criticized for our narrow thinking. For our narrow thinking, but I think it's biblical. I would rather be in heaven with a narrow mind than in hell knowing everything about everything and have chosen wrongly all or most of my life. In Mark 8:36, it says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Answer, nothing! You'll gain... nothing. You'll gain zero. It'll be of no use to you. What good to get everything down here, go the wide and broad way, everything goes, and end up in destruction and ruin, regretting everything that you've done. I think our job is to follow the Lord. So I put in our notes here, so what's the best gift you can give your mom this Mother's Day? A life that's sold out for Jesus. Whether you're 5, 7, 19, 32, 77, or 104, I don't care what age you are. I don't care whether your mother's alive or not. She would appreciate the fact that you're living your life sold out for Jesus Christ. So I was going through the thoughts about Mother's Day and all that, and I asked Carrie, I go, "Carrie, do you have a good Mother's Day passage you want me to use?" I said, what would be a good verse? And so she gave me a verse, kind of an obscure spot, but it's found in Proverbs 23, and I'm going to talk about some of the scripture, but it ends with this. It ends with, "Let your father," verse 23, 25, end of the passage there, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. How do we make mom rejoice? How do we make her glad? How do we make mom happy? This passage is going to talk to us about it. I'm going to share it with you. But know this, that when mom's happy, everybody happy, right? I mean, you get mom happy, everybody's happy. Just you happy, mom not happy, you won't be happy too long, all right? Your happiness will turn to sorrow, believe me. Mom happy, everybody happy. So how do we make mom happy? Let's look at this verse, and I'll go through it fairly quickly. Proverbs 23, start in verse 15. How to make mom happy and rejoice. "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself." If your heart is wise. In this passage, I'm going to give you four heart directives. Four things you're supposed to do or that addresses your heart. Number one is, have a wise heart. Have a wise heart. Because if you do, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself. I see that mom will be happy, but... And looking at this verse, you can always also extrapolate that the person speaking here is not just mom. It's actually the Lord, too. So I'm going to parallel them together, because you make mom happy, you make God happy. And if God happy, Everybody is happy, all right? Job is to make God happy. Make him happy. The word wise here, have a wise heart. Wise means having the power of discerning and judging correctly. Oh, don't you wish that for your children? Don't you wish that for yourself? Having the power of discerning and judging correctly. Not falsely, not without knowledge, but correctly. Or of discriminating between what is true and what is false. That's what it means to be wise. Knowing the falseness of what the devil puts out there and discovering it and seeing under there. Wait a second. Everybody's going this wide way, but when I look under all of the nice trimmings and all of this stuff on the top, but when I open it up, it's full of death and destruction. You see, that's the wisdom you have to look under the face value of what everybody's telling you is going to be fun, is going to be great, is going to be okay. We need to do that. We need to have a wise heart. A wise heart. It says, between what is fit and what is proper. Being able to discriminate between what is true and false, between what is fit and what is proper, and what is improper. What is not good, what's not right to do. So many times we just slide over it instead of discovering it and saying, I'm staying away from them. When we make wise, right, true, and correct choices in life, mom's heart and God's heart rejoices. As I said, it makes God happy. It makes him happy. I want to talk about this for just a moment, because about making God happy. I put in your notes here or on the screen here, I put, Jesus always loves you through the good, bad, and ugly things in your life. The good, bad, and ugly things that you do. Jesus always loves you through the good, bad, and ugly things in life. He will always love you, okay? That's never in question. Jesus just loves you. But I don't just want him to love me. Now, this is me. I don't just want him to love me. I want him to be happy with me and my life choices. I think there's a difference between, well, Jesus will forgive me. Jesus loves me. Yep, Jesus loves me. And I sinned again, but Jesus loves me. And hey, we're all there. We all need that. That's me. I need that. I'm thankful to God for that. But I think there's something more than just, well, he just loves me. Well, he just loves me. And, oh, you know, he'll forgive me. And I want to make him happy. You know, back in, I think in Genesis, was Genesis 6, where he says it was sad that he had made mankind? There was just evil along all across the world. He was sad that he had made man. I don't want him ever sad. He'll love me. He'll love me. I don't want him sad by my choices. I want God happy. I want my mom happy. She's in heaven right now. I want her happy with the choices that her son has made with his life. Now, I don't always do that. Okay? I'm thankful for his love. But I just want him to laugh, to be happy, to be awesome. If the way I live my life makes God happy, believe me, then I'll be happy too. And as I said, I want to live my life without any regrets when I get to the end of it. Continue on in verse 16. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Mom and God are going to be happy when we're declaring the right things, when we're speaking the things that are truthful, that are honest, that are good, that are pure, that are lovely. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, we're supposed to think and, I believe, speak about those things. When your lips speak right things, mom and God rejoices. And that word rejoice means to jump for joy or to exult. You know, I don't see many people going, yee-haw, you know, jumping for joy. But if you're a young kid and you get that bicycle or whatever that you've been hoping for Christmas, and you come in and you see it and you start jumping up and down because you're so excited and you can't contain the excitement. I want God jumping for joy. I want God jumping for joy because of what I've done. My innermost being will rejoice, jump for joy when your lips speak right things. When I start declaring what God has put in my heart, when I start speaking out the things from the Scripture, when I start saying that which is right and wholesome and good, when I start declaring the promises that God has given to us, that makes him excited. He enjoys that. That makes him happy. That gets him excited. That turns his crank. The second thing, directive of the heart here is found in verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners. Don't let your heart envy sinners. Now, usually we envy someone who has something more than we have, or has more stuff than we have, or has something that we always wanted. And we look out there sometimes, we look at all these sinners, so to speak, and realize, gosh, they don't even follow God, and look at all the great things and all the blessings that they have. He says very pointedly, don't let your heart envy sinners. That word envy means make zealous. Don't let your heart be zealous for the things out there that aren't right, that aren't good. Don't be zealous for that which is wrong. Don't envy people who are going the wrong way. Going the wrong way. Don't envy people who are on the broad path, who are on the wide, going through the wide gate. Don't be zealous for going the wrong way. Believe me, if you go the wrong way, if you go the wrong way on a road, it can kill you. It can cost you your life. Going the wrong way in life against the Lord, going the wrong way, enjoying what sinners are doing, turning your back on Christ, going the wrong way will bring destruction and death to you. Don't go the wrong way. Don't be zealous for stuff that we shouldn't be zealous for out there that other people flaunt. Don't envy them. Don't be zealous for going after the wrong way. Instead, there's one way we need to go. There's just one way. God has one plan, one direction. He has a narrow gate that he wants us to go. He wants us on this narrow gate, this small path. He wants to confine us. He wants to keep us away from all the junk that's out there. Put blinders on your eyes. Walk down the narrow gate. Now, I know that some would say, well, you're not really living life. Let me tell you what. You're not living life if you're living in sin because you're living death. Oh, boy, I'm just living my life. I'm enjoying. No, you're not living life. You're living death. Because honestly, at the very depth of your core, is that what you really want? Do you want to party all the time? I just want to take advantage of women and men. I just want to exploit everything. Is that what you really want to do? I just want to go my, you know, a lot of times when I go my own way, I don't like myself. When I do my own thing and go my own way and do my thing, because I can, I don't like me. And my wife doesn't like me. And if it's not a happy wife, it's not a happy life. So it's not good. Don't be zealous. Don't be zealous for what's wrong. But it says here in the next verse, but be zealous. Don't be zealous for wrong. But be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. The fear of the Lord all the day. Don't be zealous for what's wrong. Be zealous for going God's way. Not the wrong way, going the right way. Zealous for the fear of the Lord all day, every day, 24/7. Never letting down. It's all day, every day, 24/7. Not letting down. Having this respect, this awe, this fear, this reverence for God and for what he's done for us. That makes your mama happy. That makes Jesus happy. Why all this? Verse 18, for surely, there is a hereafter. hereafter. A hereafter life is over, right? The hereafter. Oh, I'm here after my life is over. Yet there is a hereafter. You're not just dead and gone. We don't just put you in the dirt and you cease to exist. There is a life after this life. Surely, he says, surely there is a hereafter. And your hope in the hereafter will not be cut off. And your hope will not be cut off. For surely there's a hereafter. This means for sure there is a heaven. For sure there is a judgment. For sure there is a reward. For sure. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. For sure. It's here. Are you living your life with the surety that there is a hereafter? That after this is all done, I'm going to meet the Lord. I'm going to meet the Lord. I'm going to be in heaven forever. There is a final resting spot, both good and bad. We need to make sure that we choose wisely the narrow gate. The narrow gate. It's confining. I know, but let me tell you what. When you're in heaven, you're going to be going, wow, I'm glad I was confined. I'm glad I was constrained. I'm going to talk about your heart in just a moment here, but because sometimes our heart doesn't always make the right choices. I like this word hope here, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope in that hereafter, your hope in heaven, will not be cut off. The word hope here means a cord or an attachment, an expectancy. And I started thinking about holding on to something, right? And it says here, there's this cord that we can hold on. It will not be cut off. It's not going to be cut. But if this is the cord that I'm holding on to, and all of a sudden I pull on this cord, and this is it, and I pull on this cord, and then all of a sudden, boom. Oh, I'm falling. Okay? Now, if you're holding on to this cord, this is a much nicer cord to hold on to. Rebar. I don't know. It looks like what number bar it is, but it's 3/4 inch thick there. I mean, if you're holding on to that, it's a little bit harder to rip this one out, right? Right? I mean, I would do it, but I'll rip my jacket and I'll turn green, so I don't want to do that right now. Anyway. But, I mean, we can see the difference there between this thread, if you will, and this rebar. There's definitely a difference, but let me tell you, this word surely, this hope, is not just that. I want to show you something different. There's a difference between a rebar and a steel cable. Can you show me that cable there from the Golden Gate Bridge? This is the cable around the Golden Gate Bridge. The diameter is 36 3/8 inches. That's the rebar. That's the cable on the Golden Gate Bridge. It's 7,650 feet long. Show us where it fits in the. It's those things that are going down like that. 7,650 feet long, and it weighs both sides together, weigh 49 million pounds. 49 million pounds. Okay, that's 3 foot in diameter. Holding on to that, you think that sucker's going to break if you got you and you're holding on to that? No way. That's how sure heaven is for those that love him. That's how sure your relationship with Jesus Christ produces heaven for you. It's amazing. As sure as a steel cable can hold you is as sure as there is a hereafter is true, and you're surely going to be there if you know Jesus. Verse 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. This is the third directive of your heart. Guide your heart in the way. Guide your heart in the way. Guide your heart doesn't mean just let it do whatever it wants. It means you have to guide it. You have to be purposeful. You have to watch over your heart. What do you mean? I love the Lord. I my heart just exudes warmth for Jesus, and I just want to please him. But then we come to Jeremiah 17:9, and here's what it says. The heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things. Now that's an amazing scripture there. It's the most deceitful thing there is. Your heart. But I love Jesus. I love my mom. I love my wife. My heart is full and pumping red juicy blood that's loves. I just want to serve the Lord. And I just want to follow. Ever sinned? Ever told the Lord I'll never do that again? And then all of a sudden, bam. With all your guts, with everything inside of you, you thought. And then all of a sudden it was different. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately. I mean, it didn't even say and wicked. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is the most deceitful thing there is. And left on its own, it's an accident waiting to happen. Or better yet, left on its own, if you don't guard it, it's a sin waiting to happen. I'm just saying that you have to put energy and effort. Why do we go back to this word every single day? Why are we supposed to be reading this every single day? Reading the Word of God, reading the Word of God, reading the Word of God. Why? To keep our heart right. To keep our heart right. You know, the number one cause of death in America is heart disease. It's the number one cause of death in the spiritual kingdom too. It's heart disease. We need to keep this thing pumping rightly. We need to guard it. We need to keep it. We need to make sure that we're in the Word and the Word is getting into us. If not, all of a sudden deceitful things start to happen because it's just left on its own. It looks like it's going to do one thing and zing, it does the other. I was going to do, and zing, I did that. And thank God for forgiveness. I need it too. And I'm not just pointing my finger at everybody here. I'm speaking to me. But our heart, you got to guard it. You got to guard it. You got to keep it. You got to make sure you got to guide it. You got to get up and say, I'm guiding you. I don't want to read this morning. I don't care what you want to do. Here's what you're going to do. Because I'm guiding you, heart. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Read that. Do that. If not, let me tell you what entropy comes in, and we go down to the lowest common denominator. Deceitful. The word deceitful here means fraudulent. Fraudulent means obtained, done by or involving deception, especially criminal deception. I don't want to be a fraud in the kingdom. But I'll tell you what, this heart, now praise the Lord, I've asked Christ into my heart, so it's redeemed and all of that, but let me tell you what, there's still a battle, there's still a struggle. There's still the flesh. I want to continue to keep walking in the Spirit. Verse 20. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. I think what I want to say here is don't look for escapes from life. Don't look for escapes from life. Live your life. Let the Lord challenge you. Let the Lord change you. Don't run to broken cisterns, but live it for the Lord. 22, listen to your father. Listen to your father. Let me say it one more time for my kids out there. Listen to your father who begot you. And do not despise your mother when she is old. Of course, my wife is still really young. Thank God for good parents. Thank you, parents. Thank you for what you're doing. I thank God for my parents. 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy truth. Be willing to pay for it. Be willing to explore it. And I'll tell you what, this is truth. Get in there. Buy it means it's going to cost me something. It's going to take some time. I'm going to get a commentary. I'm going to dig into it. I'm going to find out what this is saying. This is life changing. This is how I'm supposed to live my life. This is the book that I live by. I need to make sure that I know it and I know it well. And not just the book, but the book is in me. Buy the truth and don't sell it. I've seen people who start walking with the Lord by the truth, and all of a sudden they start selling it, and they start selling out on God, And pretty soon they're walking far away from him. Buy it and keep buying it every single day. Because whatever you get out of here is a bargain. It's a bargain. And finally, a last verse in verse 26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. The fourth directive here is give your heart to God. Give your heart to Jesus. Keep your eye on him. It's the best advice that the world has to offer. It's the best advice you can ever give. It's the best advice you can ever get. Give your heart. Give it to Jesus. He'll take great care of it. And in the process, you give it to him, he'll take great care of it. And in the process, he'll grow you. He'll mold you. He'll mentor you. He'll change you. He'll develop you. And when you look back, you won't bemoan what he's done. You look back with thankfulness, thanking him for what he's done with this dirt. I start off this morning by praying, hey, when God shows up, he takes ordinary dirt and does something marvelous with it. We're dust. We're dirt. But when God touches it, when God touches you, he takes the dirt, does something supernatural, and makes something marvelous out of it. And that's you. That's me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're an amazing God, that you love us so much. I'm so thankful that you want our hearts. These deceitful things, these things that mess us up and trip us up sometime, you want them. You want to mold them and change them and develop us, Lord. We're so thankful for that. Father, we're also so thankful that you've given us moms. Moms who have cared for us. Moms who have trained us up. Moms who have nurtured us, developed us, mentored us. Both natural moms and spiritual moms. And Lord, for them, we're so grateful and we're so very, very, very thankful. And we pray, Lord, that this day, above all other days, they would feel and sense our appreciation, our thanks, our gratitude. Bless them, Lord. Bless them for the blessing they've been to us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Know this. I love you. I can hardly wait till we can all gather again together. Have a great day, moms. In Jesus' name. Back to you, Pastor Dan. God bless you.